I'm Dan Clawson, and this is the Zealous Podcast, where everything we do is to inspire and equip the body of Christ for the comprehensive discipleship of the next generations. In our previous episode, we went somewhat wide and covered teaching the whole counsel of God. In this episode, and get ready, we get laser focused on proclaiming the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Church, what a tremendous calling and opportunity we have from the Father to tell the next generations of the person, works, and words of Jesus Christ. May we never tire and always pursue with zeal the proclaiming of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the next generations day after day in our homes, churches, communities, and everywhere in between. And now, let's listen in as David, Sally, and Jill discuss the fourth commitment for the discipleship of the next generations, proclaiming the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ.
Our fourth commitment is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Although we didn't think about it when we first sequenced the seven commitments, it worked out that this proclaiming of the gospel was number four, smack dab in the middle of the seven commitments. And I'm really glad it's that way. It's rightly placed in the center because we want the gospel to be at the center of what we're doing. I know when we first started writing and talking about these things, we were so concerned about this man-centered, self-centered approach to teaching the Bible and wanting to emphasize this God-centered reality and the glory of God, that we assumed that if our kids were getting anything, they were getting the gospel. And so the attention wasn't so much there. And then we realized that that was a careless assumption. Going back to what you were saying, Jill, about the children growing up in the church and in the Christian home and really lacking a working understanding of the gospel. That was my experience as an elder in the church doing membership interviews. And it was amazing to me that young people or older people who had grown up going to church their whole life and really had such a shallow understanding. Sometimes it was difficult to even discern, did they understand the gospel at all? And what we've seen over the last few years is kind of an emphasis in gospel-centeredness. In fact, I did a quick scan yesterday of Amazon, just searched for books with gospel-centered in the title, and it was amazing, just dozens of resources out there. The gospel-centered life, gospel-centered devotions, gospel-centered preaching, gospel-centered hermeneutics, gospel-centered marriage, gospel-centered funerals, the gospel-centered mom, the gospel-centered spouse, the gospel-centered husband, as well as gospel-centered discipleship, gospel-centered youth ministry, gospel-centered kids ministry, gospel-centered parenting, gospel-centered teaching. And there was something when we were crafting this fourth commitment, we just want to avoid using the phrase gospel-centered. Why was that?
I think the phrase becomes so overused that it almost loses its meaning. It becomes a worthless word, not because it is worthless, but because it's so misunderstood. I mean, it's not explained, and I think there's such a narrow definition of gospel. It's kind of reduced to Jesus died on the cross to save you from your sins, which is not the full, robust understanding of the gospel we want children to have. John Piper has said you have to recognize your plight before you can recognize the rescue. We're teaching the rescue, but they have no sense of what the plight is. And so we need to give children a robust understanding of salvation, of the gospel, of God's message of salvation for his people that starts with the authority of God, you know, the demands that God makes, the nature of sin, the holiness of God, you know, the human depravity. I mean, all of those things are involved in the gospel, man's inability to keep God's commands. Faith, what is faith? What is repentance? All of those things are involved in understanding how you come to saving faith. And I just think we have so watered down what the gospel is. We've so watered down an overused phrase without ever explaining it, that children really don't have a knowledge of salvation.
Yeah, we all seem to know that it's important to be gospel-centered, but if you just ask the next question, what does that mean, then I think people get lost because it's used in so many different ways and it's not clear.
I think there's also been such an emphasis on the gospel being relational, which it is. It exists to bring you near to God in relationship with Him, but the gospel is also doctrinally grounded. Mm-hmm. And that's the part I think people have shied away from, especially with children. We don't want to make it too doctrinal because it'd become academic. And I love this. This is from John Piper's book, God is the Gospel, which really transformed my thinking about what the essence and means and goal of the gospel is. Here's what he said about doctrine in the gospel. Gospel doctrine matters because the good news is so full and rich and wonderful that it must be open like a treasure chest, and all of its treasures brought out for the enjoyment of the world. Doctrine is the description of these treasures. Doctrine describes their true value and why they are so valuable. Doctrine protects the treasures of the gospel from the pirates who don't like the diamonds, but who would make their living trading them for other stones. Doctrine polishes the old gems buried at the bottom of the chest. It puts the jewels of the gospel truth in order on the scarlet tapestry of history, so each is seen in its most beautiful place. And all the while, doctrine does this with its head bowed in wonder that it should be allowed to touch the things of God. It whispers praise and thanks as it deals with the diamonds of the king. Its fingers tremble at the cost of what it handles. And I just love that description. Without that doctrinal groundedness, the gospel loses its meaning and the full weight of the treasure that it truly is. So I think with children, you know, instead of just running to the cross every single lesson, let's pick out a jewel and describe it and explain it so that as we put the jewels together, they'll see the richness of that tapestry as it unfolds. And I just think that's so important that we not minimize that doctrinal grounding of the gospel. Yes, the gospel is simple, but it isn't simplistic. And we want to mine the riches of it and show children. I mean, children love treasure chests. That's why I like this image. And, you know, are we giving them just a little bit here, a little bit there? Or let's open the chest and just dig in for the infinite treasure that's in the gospel. That's the gospel that we have been given to pass on to our children.
And that's why we wrote Helping Children Understand the Gospel, and you explained the 10 essential truths of the gospel, you know, which starts with God and His holiness and His authority. And if you don't get that, you can't understand the problem.
Right.
And then the solution is meaningless.
There would be a concern, I think, people, I mean, just to hear us talk about the importance of the gospel, the centrality of the gospel, it would seem then, if that's the case, why wouldn't you want to present the gospel with just about every lesson that you prepare?
It depends how you are thinking of what the gospel is. For example, in Jesus, What a Savior, which is a curriculum that's all about redemption, Jesus isn't even mentioned in the first, you know, dozen lessons, because we're in the Old Testament, because we're bringing out, we're digging deep into the gospel themes. Those diamonds that are there, God's authority, God's holiness, His righteous and holy ways, people being created for His glory, what that means, what does that require of us, that we were created for a special purpose. If you don't dig deep into those things and lay the groundwork, then by the time you get to Jesus and the cross, if everything just leads to Jesus and the cross, I liken it to, because I flew on an airplane down here, the little recording they play now of all your safety things. How many of you listen to it? The fact is the danger is real, and what they are sharing could be life-saving, but we've learned to tune it out because it's the same old thing. And I think when we teach children, when we just jump every lesson to the cross, I think the cross becomes superficial. Mm-hmm. It becomes like a get out of jail free card, or, you know, something, mm-hmm. oh, well, I don't have to even ponder my sin, or I don't have to ponder God's holiness because mm-hmm. Jesus died to save me. Jesus died to save me.
And in a sense, every lesson does lead to the gospel because yes. you're teaching a part of it. I mean, even if you're teaching a promise, you're teaching that God is unchanging and his promises never change. That means that his plan of salvation, his promise of eternal life, doesn't change. I mean, in everything, you are teaching a portion, a part of that, a jewel in the treasure chest, so to speak. So even though you don't get to Jesus dying on the cross for your sins in every lesson, you are building a robust understanding, a fuller understanding, putting the pieces together for children so that there's meaning behind it.
One of the things I've been using lately kind of as a litmus test of gospel-centeredness or gospel-groundedness, I would call it. I think that's what we're really talking about, is being grounded in the gospel, whereby your teaching comes out of that groundedness, but it's not always every lesson leading to the cross. But one of the things that's been helpful for me is to keep the five solas of the Reformation mm-hmm. in mind. Are the resources we're using and the way we're teaching children pointing to salvation is by grace alone? Well, why do I need grace? Mm-hmm. Through faith alone. Well, what really is faith? Is it just saying a prayer? In Christ alone. What did Christ really accomplish on the cross? On the authority of Scripture alone, are we basing everything that we're teaching about the gospel? Is it based in the authority of Scripture? Can I point, you know, inviting Jesus into my heart is not on the authority of Scripture. Mm-hmm. Let's get Bible language. And then finally, for the glory of God alone, mm-hmm. is, are we pointing our children to the gospel so that God would make much of them? Or are we pointing children to the gospel so that they find their everlasting joy in making much of him? And so I think that just, we want the gospel to be communicated in such a rich and deep way so that our children truly see it as something that is beyond measure of anything the world has to offer.
Wow, so we've been talking about the whole counsel of God, teaching all that Christ has commanded us, and now trying to unfold over the course of 20 years the whole gospel. How do you actually set out to do that? You roll up your sleeves, now we got to set about this task. How do we do it?
One of the things that's more and more helped me over the years that I kind of focus on is gospel-centered. Does the resource or the curriculum, whatever you're using, does it reflect the five solas of the Reformation? Are we emphasizing that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, based on the authority of Scripture alone, for the glory of God alone? And when you look at each of those five solas, there's doctrinal truth that's just by grace alone. Why do we need grace? Why is salvation only by grace alone? What did, in faith alone, what is true saving faith? Is it just saying words, I trust Jesus, he died for my sin, or is there something more? In Christ alone, what did Jesus really do on the cross? What did he accomplish? On the authority of Scripture alone, are we giving our children biblical language in responding to the gospel? So many times you hear kids, I invited Jesus into my heart. That's not biblical language. The invitation comes from Jesus, not from us. And for the glory of God alone, are we presenting the gospel so that children will realize that their ultimate joy is not found in God making much of them, but that God saves them so that they could make much of him forever? So I just think we need, by not using the term gospel-centered, we're not trying to minimize the gospel anyways. We're trying to make it richer and deeper, grounding everything we teach in the gospel.
Thank you for joining us for this conversation between David, Sally, and Jill surrounding proclaiming the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Have you ever pondered, what are we actually discipling when it comes to our children? Does discipleship only focus on the mind of the child? We would, and emphatically say, no, it is much, much more than that. Our next time together, we will answer that exact question. And now, actually, by sharing the title of the next episode, I will be giving you that answer today. So come back for episode 6, Disciple the Mind, Heart, and Will. Thanks for joining us for this episode of Zealous. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate it and review it. Your ratings and reviews help others discover this program. We want to help you grow in zeal for the discipleship of the next generations. Visit us at truth78.org/zealous for more information, along with other special discounts and offers, including your free download of a guide to growing zeal for the discipleship of the next generations. Now, may the Lord grant us to be zealous together, that the next generations may know, honor, and treasure God, setting their hope in Christ alone, so that they will live as faithful disciples for the glory of God.